First of all, I'll remind you that we have coffee and donuts after Mass in St. Joseph Hall. Also, book club will be Wednesday of this week at 2 o'clock, and again at 7 in the St. Anne Room. I've been thinking recently, and I've come to the conclusion that there are three kinds of people in the world: those who understand math and those who don't. This is obviously a mistake, but so is Jesus' math in the gospel, and we'll get to that in a moment. To keep the laws, that is, to love God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. He doesn't add here the love of neighbor, but he will later. These laws are not given to oppress the people. They're not to take our freedom away, but to give us a framework for loving God. The first three commandments deal with God and our relationship with him. The first, we know that God is God and there is no other. The second, we have to reverence God's name because he is holy and his name is holy. And third, we are to keep holy his day, being mindful of his gifts and give him thanks and worship, to spend time with him at least once a week. Moses said if we would do these things, God will reward us and bless us. The author of the letter to the Hebrews continues to speak of Christ's high priesthood. And he offers sacrifice once for all. There are no other sacrifices needed. Jesus' one sacrifice is enough. And what we celebrate here each Sunday and each day, the sacrifice of the Mass, is a representation of that one sacrifice. It's not doing it over again, it's presenting it again to us for our understanding, so we may be part of that sacrifice and receive the graces of it. Finally, in the gospel, we see Jesus' math error. When he's asked, what is the first commandment? Jesus answers, and then he adds, the love of neighbor. I say it's Jesus' math error because he adds one and one and makes one. In other words, we cannot separate our love for God and our love for our neighbor. They're two sides of the same coin. And that is our vocation and our responsibility, to give God our hearts, our whole lives, each day, to seek his will each day, and to act with love, whether we feel loving or not, to those around us, even to those who don't love us, so that we might live in God's love, in the love of Jesus, that we may have eternal life here and now, God's life in us here and now, that we may have the fullness of that life in the world to come. Now, as we know, Tuesday is Election Day. And I want to what we read in the letter that the bishop sent out in September. It was in the bulletin. I'd like to read part of it. As you prepare to cast your ballot for the upcoming November election, I ask you to pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit and educate yourself on the candidates' positions on the critical issues that will affect us all, both now and in the future. Before we are members of any political party, we must be faithful followers of Jesus, who told us, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So it is incumbent upon us, who are believers, to live our Catholic faith outside the walls of the church, putting Christ as the center of our public lives as citizens. Our consciences must be well informed through prayer and fidelity to the teachings of the church. Then we must vote our consciences, which I urge you to do, so that your Catholic faith will impact the moral and social fabric of our society. In the introductory note to forming consciences for faithful citizens, the document by the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops to help guide us on our political responsibilities, we bishops said again that the defense of unborn life remains our preeminent priority because abortion is a direct attack on the most vulnerable among us. We must also recognize that other grave threats to life and liberty, dignity of a human person include euthanasia, gun violence, terrorism, the death penalty, human trafficking, the redefinition of marriage, and gender threats to religious freedom. Lack of justice for the poor, the suffering of migrants and refugees, racism, and the lack of care for our common home. All these issues must be considered when voting for the person who will best represent us, placing the interests of our most vulnerable first among others. At a time when our nation is so polarized by partisanship and ideology, and the issues are so serious and complex, it is of the utmost importance that we persevere in hope, remembering the words found in the book of Micah, the prophet, who said, "You have been told, O mortal, what is good, and what the Lord requires of you, only to do justice and love goodness, and to walk humbly with your God."